Welcome to Twisted Tendrils, the podcast where we give horrific writing advice. I am your host, Laura Nash. Welcome to Twisted Tendrils, Horrific Writing Advice, Episode 16, Learning from Disappointing Books. Have you ever read a book and thought, well, that could have been done better? Or, let me take notes so I don't do it this way in my own stories. If so, this episode is for you. If you have any further thoughts on the subject, please send them to me on Twitter, at LauraNettles4. Just this past week, I had the opportunity to read a horror novella that looked promising. The cover was gorgeous, there were blurbs praising it from a multitude of authors pasted on the back, and the premise was intriguing. What I got was basic scare techniques done okay. Prose so convoluted I was confused about basic things like character relationships, dialogue that went against character, calling out horror tropes to set up red herrings, and an ending that didn't raise a single hair on my neck. Through all the try-hard vocabulary, basic things like dread were lost. The background stories of characters are abstract, causing me to not understand or connect with the main character. And there was a disconnect between the prose and the dialogue. The voice of the narrator was very different from the dialogue of the main character, even though it was first person. Jarring, to say the least. Even though I was disappointed, I'm glad I read it. Since it was only a novella, it wasn't that much of a time sink. I've learned some things I would like to share with you. I'm going to put them in a lovely numbered list for convenience's sake. Here we go. Number 1. Have the narrator's voice match the dialogue voice when written in first person. The story is supposed to be written through the lens of a character. It's the point of view character we are experiencing the world through. The voice in their head should mesh with the voice they speak with, unless they are putting on airs to fit in or act a part. In which case, they would be thinking about how to act and speak differently, so it would explain and not be a slap to the face of, who is speaking? Not this main character, that's for sure. If they are crass in dialogue with everyone they speak to, wouldn't their interior thoughts be crass as well? Not an Oxford lecture on the inside and lowbrow common speak on the outside every time when speaking to peers. It makes me not connect with the character. Which version is the real one? And sure, I know some of these large words from my university art history course, but still. Seems out of place in a modern ghost story where people are cursing. Number 2. Don't use abstract dialogue when describing a character's backstory. If the backstory is important enough to be stated in the story, we should be able to understand it so as to better deduce motive and character relationships. The main character may not want to think about their backstory in a clear and concise way, as it may be painful, but at least make it clear to the reader the gist of it. If you're unsure if it's clear enough, ask beta readers or critique partners. Utilize those unfamiliar with the story. Also, if you mention a wedding and there are multiple couples, state whose wedding it was. So confusing. Especially the person whose wedding it was hasn't even been introduced yet. I spent a couple chapters confused as to who was what to whom, thinking a marriage had already occurred between two of them at some point in the past. Number 3. Don't call out horror tropes in dialogue if it's out of character. One character claims they are going to die because they are the comic relief. What? At what point have they said anything remotely funny? They are the straight-laced businessman with some anger problems. No funny bone to be seen. And yet, they try to paint themselves with a trope in name only, so we fear for their life. Doesn't work. Just makes me mad and think the author is going for the low-hanging fruit that is moldy, not fitting in with the established story, making it all the worse for having it in. Lame. Don't do it. Sure, you can have characters call out horror tropes by name and assign them to themselves, but only if it fits their personalities. Are they a horror buff? Is this a parody story? go for it. Otherwise, it feels cheap. Number 4. If your main character is not scared of their possible impending death, why should we be? If the main character is smoking a cigarette with a friend, watching stuff play out with no emotions, supposedly they're not a psychopath, then why should I, as the reader, be scared? No dread whatsoever. Especially if the main character is not the villain, to make me feel disgust. Stuff just happens, and the main character is just a bystander. Okay, I guess. No tension, because neither of us cares. Such a letdown. Okay, now that I've gotten that off my chest, I've got to ask the question. Why do people advise on reading bad books? And bad by what standard? Obviously, this was a well-renowned book, for all the gushing blurbs on the back. I didn't purposely seek out a bad book. My advice would be not to seek out bad books on purpose, but to read analytically. You'll find books that you don't jive with, even if they have over 4 stars on Goodreads. Read like a writer. Dissect what the author is doing well, where you would have done things differently, etc. Maybe copy out quotes you love into a notebook to analyze on a deeper level. Don't just get lost in the prose, but dissect its construction and use of tropes and metaphors, how it builds tension and dread, and how it strings its clues together. Don't just learn from writing craft books. Learn. Period. Learn from middle grade, adult, and everything in between. If it piques your interest, get it from the library, or pick it up from the bookstore. Read wide, and read each text deeply. You can see what works for you and what doesn't. It's all subjective. Maybe you have a notebook where you write notes about each book you read and the lessons learned. Create a style Bible with the quotes you love. They can be great tools for developing your author voice. I have quotes from Neil Gaiman, Philip Arda, William Joyce, Melissa Albert, and Jessica Ann York in mine, so far. I copied them word for word by hand into my red notebook labeled Laura's Style Bible in gold vinyl. Speaking of which, I should add these conclusions to that notebook so I don't forget these valuable lessons. Well, that's it for this short episode. I'll see you again next week. And remember, keep your writing spooky. You have been listening to Twisted Tendrils, Horrific Writing Advice by Laura Nettles.